So what do you do when you find out upon the birth of your first child that there is a terribly painful genetic condition that you and your spouse can pass along to any children you have? Well, one option you might consider is embryo adoption. And that's exactly what Whitney Williams and her husband turned to. And she is my guest today here on the Embryo Adoption Podcast. I'm Mark Mellinger, Marketing and Development Director of the National Embryo Donation Center, and the NEDC is the one bringing you this podcast. You can find out more at our website, embryodonation.org, embryodonation.org. So, Whitney, I just set it up. Tell me a little bit about your discovery upon the birth of your first child.
Well, I had a perfect pregnancy and actually had heard about embryo donation in the past, but since I had an easy pregnancy with my first, I never considered it for me or thought that it would be in my path. So when we were surprised during the birth of our son with his genetic disorder, well, at first, of course, we weren't thinking about any further children because it was all just so overwhelming and honestly just terrible. I mean, just thinking about him having just a really poor quality of life and what the future might hold for him and our family and everything.
Do you mind sharing what the condition was and is?
Yes, it's called epidermolysis bullosa. So he was born without skin on his feet. It looked like his feet had been sitting in boiling water for 2 days or something, and blisters, different places on his body. But basically, the collagen 7 in your body is either non-existent or weak. That's the glue that holds your skin on. So internally and externally, people who suffer from this, their skin can just come off with the slightest friction. So it causes just a terrible host of problems inside and outside. And we had a lot of wound care for him the first year and just suffering and wondering and just, crying out to the Lord, feeling so helpless as parents. And just we really felt like God was our only hope. And I always tell people that, there's a variety or there's a very wide range of severities with all kinds of disorders. So it turns out he has a milder form of the condition than doctors and we expected him to have. So we kind of feel like we were about to get hit by a train and God took us by our collars and pulled us back right before we did because it is a really bad thing and people suffer a lot with it. So we feel very blessed that he has a milder form of it and he's able to live a normal life now. But of course, God used that terrible time in our lives for good because he pointed us toward embryo adoption and we wouldn't have our other two sons without having gone through that suffering. So we're
Colt is
thankful.
your oldest. He's 8 years old right now. It's so good to hear that he is doing well. So tell me about that. How did you find out about embryo adoption and start heading down that path?
So, like I said, I found out about it before I ever thought it would be something that my family would consider. I found out about it. I work for a news organization called World. It's a Christian news organization. They wrote a story about one of your families who actually pursued embryo adoption, I think because the mom had some sort of blindness that she could pass down. So I heard about it through my employer and it was about you guys. And I actually told my sister-in-law who was struggling with infertility about it. And I said, oh, you should consider this. And never thinking that it would be for me one day. And so I remember at that time, my husband and I talking about IVF and leftover remaining embryos and him saying, well, isn't that like kind of like abortion when people just discard them and trash them? And we were thinking, yes, And so for it to come full circle and really just be so personal to us later on, I think is just a really cool God thing. But anyway, so after our first son was born and we got through all of that and we felt like maybe we wanted to have more children, I did call you guys first because I was just so impressed with your ministry and your work, the prices, honestly, compared to other places, and how easy and simple it seemed you make it. And also just your heart for the embryos and their little lives. So that's how we came to know about it.
And now you ended up not going through the NEDC. That's not a prerequisite of being on this podcast. You don't have to have gone through the NEDC to talk about embryo adoption. We're all about spreading the mission, whether you went through us or not. Tell me how it came about. Actually, the folks who ended up being your donors were introduced to you by a closer connection, you could say.
Yes. So we had shared with our pastor and home group that we were considering this because we didn't want to pass along our genetic disorder. And also because I wanted to be able to carry children again and was really mourning the fact that I might not be able to. So when I found out about embryo adoption, I was just really excited about maybe having that opportunity again. So we told people at our church, and our pastor said, I just happened to know a girl that I grew up with. You know, they ended up with 17 embryos, and they've given birth to 3, and they have 14 frozen that they don't feel like they can give birth to. They are not, you know, they didn't want to ever be in that position, but I guess they were trusting their doctors and as far as how many they fertilized and everything. So they saw those 14 that remained as little lives and persons that deserved a chance to live out their lives and be protected. They kept them frozen for 8 years. Just waiting for a family, and they weren't just giving them to any family. They wanted to hear from someone who they knew about a family that was that, you know, was solid and Christian and, you know, whatever else. And so that's how we found out about them, through our pastor. So,
but so you're connected to the family, and I think this is a really key point to bring out. You've got your embryos, you're connected to this family. You in your case, had an open relationship because you knew who the family was, and you're still in contact today. I know that. But that doesn't mean that it was an easy road to get to your next 2 children, right? Tell me about that.
So, yes. Well, it looked easy at first because I got pregnant on my first try. And so I put my older son in a big brother shirt and sent it to the donors. And, you know, it was very early. And I ended up having a very early loss with that first one, and just kept losing for some reason. Only the Lord knows. Very early. All of them were very early losses. So went through 4 tries and 5 embryos, lost those all. And then my friend said, maybe you should switch doctors, you know, an embryologist. So I switched doctors on the 5th try. He convinced me to put in 2. We were kind of scared to try with 2 because we had had medical complications with our first son and we knew it was more high risk. The doctor convinced me to put in 2. And both of them made it, and we were just so surprised. I don't think my husband talked for like 2 days because we were just not expecting twins, and honestly scared because we had gone through a lot medically with our first. So, you know, we thought, oh, they're going to be born early and more NICU time and all this. And of course we were very thankful, but we were scared, honestly, and just praying for God to be gracious and help them to make it to term and everything. And they did. They were both 7 pounds each, and just very healthy babies. And it was just such a grace, and we're just so thankful.
Yeah, and their names are Jake and Luke, and they are 4 now, you were telling me.
Yes, I wanted to show you. This was a picture of them when they were babies, and this is a picture of them when they were embryos.
Okay, those of you who are watching the video version of this can see it. If you're only listening to the audio, you can envision it in your mind's eye, and that is a terrific picture that you're showing me. Isn't that great?
So I just love that, you know, I don't know who's who, but these are individual people, you know, and everything about them was determined right here, how they would look and, you know, all of that. And all they needed was time in a womb to become this. So.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And that is why we are all here. Now, the story does not end there. I mean, there were still embryos remaining from the set, even after you added Jake and Luke to your family. So what became of those?
So in our contract, so again, we implanted 7 and ended up with 2 finally, and we were very grateful, and we decided that our family was complete. So in the contract, we gave back ownership, I guess you could say, to the biological parents for them to choose another family for the remaining 7. And the biological parents, who are our friends and really feel like our family now, they included us in their decision making. And we all together waited about 4 years for the perfect family to come along. There were several that came along and finally found the perfect family who we thought would mesh well with us, good location where we could all meet together and it would be easy, things like that. People who wanted to be open like we did. And so she, they got pregnant on their first try, and she is pregnant with a healthy singleton, we call it in this world. And I think she's about 14 weeks now. So
is there any, you know, people who are, when they think of an open relationship in embryo adoption, some people are like, gee, I just don't know if I could ever do that. I might feel like my child might get the idea that I'm not really his or her parent. Could you talk to somebody who has that sort of fear? From your perspective, has that been an issue at all? And if so, how have you worked through it?
I probably had that fear before I gave birth to these boys, or before I had this huge belly and I was carrying them. But just, first of all, going through pregnancy with them, I mean, you just form such a bond. You're their mama, and you're feeling them grow inside of you, and you're seeing them on the screen, and you're bonding with them just like I was, just like I was with my biological child. It was no different. And so once they were born, it was just as special, and maybe, I don't want to say even more so, but just as special, because we had been gifted with these children, and we wouldn't have had them had their biological parents not protected them and valued them. And so it just felt like such a gift from God. They felt like such a gift from God. So it has never felt like they weren't my babies. Now, I wanted to hear my husband say that. And a few months after, and it was a month after they were born, we went on a date night together. And I still remember we were walking down the streets of Fort Worth together and talking about it. And he was like, oh, they're mine. They're mine. I feel no distinction between them and our other son. And so it's good for me to hear that too, that it wasn't just me as a mom that felt that, but my husband felt that as well. And I remember his mom even sharing, you know, well, we feel differently about them as the grandparents. And they do not. And they have shared with me, you know, definitely it's no different. And they're just as spoiled and they're so loved. And I think the grandparents feel the same way, that it's, they're just such a gift to our family.
So. And you have a really open relationship. I mean, you know, some people will have an open relationship and it just means, well, we exchange emails, or we trade pictures a couple times a year, or we just follow each other on social media. You actually do get together with your donor family as friends, right? Can you explain what that relationship is like?
Yes, it kind of makes me want to cry thinking about it. It's not just the biological parents. We meet with their Jake and Luke's biological siblings as well, both sets of their biological grandparents, aunts and uncles. We have spent the night in one of the biological grandparents' house, and we're going to do it again this summer. they welcome us with open arms. They're like our cheerleaders, you know, constantly encouraging us and loving on us. They send gifts. They include Colt, our other older son. They say he's a part of our family too. You all are a part of our family. And we often share that when we adopted Jake and Luke as embryos, we didn't just get two sons, we got a whole extended family. And they feel the same way that us taking on Jake and Luke, they're not just getting to see Jake and Luke being loved, and you know, they have gained us as family as well and friends. And I really do believe that we all cherish one another. And as far as how I talked to Jake and Luke about it, you know, therefore, I never wanted it to be a surprise, their story to them. From the very beginning, I have said, God used, and we call them Auntie Ange and Uncle Josh, their biological parents. I say, God used Auntie Ange and Uncle Josh to make you and to bring you to mommy and daddy. And we love Auntie Ange and Uncle Josh because they protected you until mommy and daddy could get to you, and they love you, and we love them so much. And so it's really a beautiful relationship.
It's a wonderful story. I love hearing how it's worked out. If you could say one last thing to somebody who is thinking about doing embryo adoption and is still a little hesitant, what is the hardest part for you as you look back? What was the hardest part of all of this, and how would you prepare somebody to deal with that?
I think definitely the hardest part for us was loss. And of course, a lot of people who are coming into this have probably gone through treatments. They've gone through loss. And even if it wasn't physical loss of a child, they've gone through a lot of financial loss. And so you wonder, should I pursue this? Is this, you know, when we kept going, we thought, are we crazy? You know, I mean, should we just stop? Should we just, you know, be content with our one child and forget about this? God, is this really what you want from us? And I definitely personally just had that pull, like, I wanted more children, and I'm thankful that more embryos were available to us. But I would just say, if you still have that longing and you have the means, and you know, embryos are out there available for you, just keep trying if you can, because you know, once Jake and Luke came, we were so thankful that we didn't give up and so thankful that we didn't stop trying. And they're just such a gift to us. I mean, they were always meant to be ours. And so just hang in there. And I would definitely say that they will feel like your children. I've got biological child and, you know, children adopted as embryos. And I know people question that and fear that. And they are my babies through and through. So. And let me just say this too. I see their biological families in their faces, and that's not hard for me. I actually just rejoice to the point of tears because I love their biological family. And so it just reminds me when I see their biological family in them, it just reminds me what a gift our sons are to us.
Well, and that's what love does. It expands the capacity of the heart. You can make room for other people. And it's just great to hear how you and your husband and your boys have done that. It's a wonderful note on which to end this interview. Whitney Williams has shared her family's story, and I'm sure it's touched you like it's touched so many people. I pray that God uses it in a great way. If you want more information on embryo adoption, you can go to the National Embryo Donation Center website. It's embryodonation.org, embryodonation.org. Thanks for being with us. I'm Mark Mellinger. This has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.